Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Do you recommend your religion? This is a second lesson in which we are making this inquiry. In our first lesson, we asked, do we recommend and can we recommend our religion in the light of the scriptural teaching? And do we recommend our religion by the way that we live? In this lesson, we propose to ask the question again and look at it in two other different ways. Now, an advantage that we have when one preaches a series of lessons is to find it expedient to review previous lessons in order to attain the connection from one to the next. In our first lesson, we ask, can we recommend our religion in the light of what the Bible reveals, what it authorizes? Does your religion harmonize with thus saith the Lord? Friend, face the fact. Many religions, many churches, many faiths that people follow are simply not authorized by the Scripture. And do you recommend your religion by the way that you live? We are supposed to follow Christ. We're supposed to be Christ-like in our behavior and our attitude. Can we recommend it by the way that we live? Does our light shine so as to cause people to glorify God? We now ask, do we recommend our religion by the way we support it? Now, some might complain, here comes another lesson on giving. Yes, it is, but is there no need for it? Are you giving as you should? Those who give as they ought never raise objections to lessons on the subject of giving. They rejoice over their privilege to give and the opportunity to learn more about it for themselves and the opportunity for others to learn. Only those who are not doing as they ought will squirm and rage against sermons on giving. Actually, giving is a good single-word commentary on the religion of Jesus Christ. Consider what God has given us, and how that Christ gave his life. The world in which we live and every good and perfect gift came from God. Even his Son to die in our stead. Has he not given of his love and his grace and mercy that we might be saved? Consider what Christ gave. He gave us an example to follow, a sacrifice for our sins, offering us a hope of glory. The Holy Spirit gave us the word that leads to heaven. When you truly understand the religion of Christ, you understand why giving is such an essential part of it. But giving involves more than just money, although this is included. That the faith must be supported by Christians is elementary information. Who else cares enough for the Lord and His will and the souls of mankind to support it more than the Christian? A religion that does not find support for itself from among its own members is to profess an unworthy religion. It is an admission of weakness and emptiness to look to others who do not profess a certain faith to support that faith. Some religions turn to the government for support, or to business ventures and raffles and even gambling and carnivals and selling ads to raise funds for their religion. This is an unmistakable sign that their faith is not the faith of which Christ is the author and the founder. Now, people are not hesitant to recommend various products that they use, such as detergents and automobiles and cold remedies and foods and, well, you didn't name most anything. Most actually take some pleasure in being able to recommend to their friends those things they find useful. Manufacturers have long understood that the best recommendation and support that they can receive is a sincere recommendation and endorsement from those who use their product. The same principle is true concerning the faith of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, I believed, therefore have I spoken. Now the word therefore means Paul was about to give a reason for believing. He did not believe because he had spoken. He spoke according to what he believed. His words and actions were governed by his convictions. He was simply unable to keep silent on the matter of such universal importance and benefit as the faith of Christ. when he went to Athens in Acts 17 and verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Paul was not ashamed to recommend his faith to one and all. But too often we think only in financial and monetary terms in the matter of giving. And while this is not to be minimized, and giving is an item of worship, and by our giving of our means we give honor to God with our substance, Proverbs 3 and verse 9, and we show our love by it, there is more to it than that. It would be worthwhile to spend time dealing with the monetary giving, as Scripture teaches, however. But there are other ways that call for us to support and endorse the faith. We strongly suggest that all these ways be included in our service to God because He has the right to expect us to recommend the faith in every way that is available to us. Faithful attendance at worship, brethren, and Bible study periods, that's one way that we recommend our faith. So many who call themselves Christians take this privilege and this duty so lightly. They do the cause of Christ such harm. Possibly they do not intend to be a hindrance, but they can be and they often are. When non-Christians see professed Christians care so little for obedience to the commands surrounding worship and Bible study, just how do we expect them to be impressed? We withhold recommendation of our faith by our irregularity in attendance, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as well as to show contempt and disregard for a command from deity. Offering words of encouragement to each other, cooperating with each other in the Word, acts of kindness and goodness, all of these are ways to show that we recommend the faith. There are times when conflicts between what this world demands and what God demands will arise before us. Only in times of such conflict are we really able to show our priorities and to demonstrate the Lord is first with us. Without any conflicts of concern, we never are faced with such an opportunity. Just how do we do when we have to make choices? Do we recommend our faith? Or do we go the way of the world, the way that we want, the way others pressure us to go? It is most inappropriate for Christians to allow social events and recreation and vacations and friends and family and the mundane matters of life to become a superior concern to us before our loyalty to Christ. Christians are to be zealous of good works, Titus 2:14, ready unto every good work, Titus 3 and verse 1. Full of good works, Acts 9 verse 36. Careful to maintain good works, Titus 3 and verse 8. And to be fruitful in every good work, Colossians 1 and verse 10. This gives support to the faith when we obey these expectations. There is the story of a hungry, cold child gazing through a store window at a doll. One lady observed, and her heart was touched. She bought the doll and gave it to the child. She fed her, she clothed her warmly. And as they parted, the little girl asked, "Are you God's wife?" Is not this what the church should radiate, being the bride of Christ? We're to be found supporting the Lord's way to the extent that people will think we are God's, not for our glory, but for His. And when we do this, we recommend our faith. But do we recommend our faith by the way it works, not only for us, but how it will work for all who follow it? What good is your religion to you? Does it provide that which is sure and stable? Now, when we experience good fortune, does our religion provide soberness for us to temper us, lest we be swelled with pride? Does it provoke us to thanksgiving? And in times of crisis, does it provide the support and the comfort and the assurance and courage we must have in order to overcome, if we cannot overcome, to endure? And when you are lonely and sad and discouraged and suffering because of some great loss, does your religion come in? Surely we must have a week-long religion, not just a Sunday religion. We need that which we practice every day, and one that blesses throughout the week, whatever that week may produce. Christianity, when hungrily partaken of and consistently applied, will work for the benefit of the Christian. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or permit you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Friend, we can paraphrase the basic meaning of this promise of God to His children when we say, "There is nothing that shall happen this day that God and I together cannot handle." Now, this is God's own promise to His faithful children. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 3 and verse 3, "Thou art a shield for me." And again he said, "No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." Hebrews 13 and verse 5, "For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Because God is man's help and man's refuge and man's strength, we can say that we will not fear what man shall do unto me, Hebrews 13 and verse 6. In Christ and through Christ who loved us, we can be more than conquerors, Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 37. We can say alongside Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Our God is able," Daniel 3 and verse 7. And as Paul wrote, "Able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think," Ephesians 3 and verse 20. What more could one want? All things needful will be provided if we seek Him and His righteousness and His kingdom first, Matthew 6 and verse 33. But most important of all, the religion of Christ provides forgiveness of sins. Friend, Christ came to bring peace between man and God by providing the way of salvation, the way of forgiveness of sins, that barrier that man erects between himself and God. By following God's will, we can be saved from what otherwise would destroy us in hell. We can have peace and hope and purpose and strength for life, as well as a guide for life. And all this is offered, as well as the eternal reward of heaven, when we are in Christ. And we can recommend our faith, if our faith be the faith, because the faith is the only way that does this for us. "For all who will love Him and His appearing," 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. In summary, I think we can say, do we recommend our faith? If the faith be the faith of Christ, we're obligated to recommend it. This is a part of being faithful in the faith. Can we prove that it is the faith revealed in the Scripture? Do our lives show that we believe it is important and commended to others by the way we conduct our lives? And do we support it in all the ways and avenues that are open to us with time and talent and prayer and money? By our word, by our deed, by our works? And can we recommend it because of the blessings we receive from it? That is primarily the forgiveness of sin. Knowing that the way of Christ is God's way for man, the only way that He approves, because there is no other, Acts 4 and verse 12, and Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Christ, John 14, 6, we recommend to you a serious study of the faith of which you read in Scripture, and urge each of us to make that faith our religion. And you begin by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and, as He has taught, to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3, and to confess your faith in Christ, Luke 12, 8 and 9. And to be baptized in order to be saved, Mark 16 and verse 16. And then rising from the watery grave of baptism, having contacted the blood of Christ by which your sins have been washed away, to live a loyal and faithful life in Christ, Revelation 2 and verse 10, and the crown of life will belong to us. This has been The Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.